The Passover lamb is a shadow of Yeshua, of Jesus. Pharaoh, beloved, is a shadow of Satan or the anti-Messiah. And so we can understand the book of Revelation, beloved, by looking at it through the lens of Passover. This is very important for our lives as believers today because Yeshua, beloved, is the fulfillment of Passover. We read about Passover in its initial historical context in the book of Exodus that we call in Hebrew Shemot, chapter number 12. Passover is considered in traditional Judaism, beloved, as the crown feast of the Jewish holidays. It's a time of celebration, a time of deliverance. We see in Scripture, beloved, that in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, verse 16 and 17, that all these feasts, all these appointed days of the Lord that are revealed to us in the Hebrew Bible are shadows of Messiah Jesus. That they had application in their initial historical context to ancient Israel, but, beloved, they were also prophetically pointing to Yeshua, and Yeshua fulfills all these feasts and is the substance of them. And so we want to look at all the feasts of ancient Israel. They're actually the feast of the Lord and understand, beloved, how they're fulfilled in our Messiah Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that Passover is the Lord's Passover and Yeshua, beloved, is the essence of it. Now, I want you to consider with me, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to, get this now, as the Lamb 29 times. Get this. In the book of Revelation, the most predominant title that is given to the Lord Jesus, that is given to Yeshua Mashiach, is the title, get this now, the Lamb. 29 times he's referred to as the Lamb. In fact, I'd like to read for you just a brief survey of some of the scriptures in the book of Revelation identifying Jesus as the Lamb. And as I read these scriptures, I want you to comprehend that when the Lord is referring to Jesus as the Lamb in Revelation, it's not because he was just this gentle person, but because the Lord was identifying him, beloved, as the fulfillment of Passover. That the word Lamb in Revelation, beloved, is Passover language. I'm trying to help you understand and get how important Passover is to you as a Christian. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that Messiah Jesus has become our Passover. Listen to just a sampling of Yeshua described as the Lamb, and it's the Passover Lamb in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, he stood as a lamb that had been slain. Revelation 5:8, the elders fell down before the Lamb. Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Revelation 5:13, and unto the Lamb forever. Revelation 6:1, when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Revelation 6:16, the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 7:9, before the Lamb. And I could go on and on. The Lamb's book of life. The Lamb in the center of the throne. They followed the Lamb wherever he went. The Lamb at the center of everything, beloved. It's all about the Lamb. And it's Passover terminology. And so we can understand the book of Revelation, beloved, by looking at it, get this now, through the lens of Passover. I'm talking today about Yeshua being the fulfillment of Passover. And so what I'm going to do now, beloved, is talk to you about how Yeshua is the fulfillment of Passover and relating that to Exodus chapter 12. Now, as we consider this, I want you to understand that the book of Revelation has been a very, very difficult book for many of us to understand. In fact, for years as a believer, I was afraid of the book of Revelation because I didn't understand it, and it was scary to me, and I couldn't make sense of it, and I heard all these different theories about how to interpret it, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, pre-mill, amill, and I was just like, I give up, I don't know, I'm pan-trib, it's going to all pan out. I had no idea. And I didn't take a stance on it. But when the Lord showed me, beloved, that I need to interpret the book of Revelation through the Passover experience, it all came together for me. Remember when Yeshua came to be baptized, John the Baptist pointed at him and said what? In the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 29, the Lamb of God. Behold, from the very beginning, from the inception of Jesus' ministry, he was identified by John the Baptist as what? The Lamb of God. Do you know that the last meal that Yeshua ate with his disciples when he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, that was a Passover meal. We read in John 13 that Jesus was celebrating the Passover, and he lifted up that Passover wine and blessed it. And then he said to his disciples, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins in the covenant." And so we're looking now then to understand the book of Revelations and end times events and how Yeshua is the fulfillment of Passover by looking at Revelation, beloved, through Exodus chapter number 12. What we're going to do is we're going to look now at types and shadows. Once again, 29 times in Revelation, Yeshua is referred to as the Lamb. So we're going to go back to the Exodus experience because that's where the word Lamb and that's where the terminology the Lamb comes from. And we're going to look at all the different elements and all the different characters in the Exodus experience in Exodus 12 and understand how that relates to the church today, how that relates to end times, and how it fits in to the book of Revelation. Number one, we read in Exodus chapter number 12, verse 5, that the lamb of the ancient Israelites had to be unblemished. Of course, we know that the New Testament identifies Yeshua as the unblemished Lamb of God. Everything's fitting together now like a hand in a glove. We also read in Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 6, that every Israelite family was commanded to take a lamb for themselves. It was a personal lamb, okay? It wasn't just something that was abstract. Every Israelite family took their own lamb. It was very personal. In other words, Jesus died for you personally. Jesus loves you personally. Every Israelite family had to take their own lamb. Now get this. And everybody in the family, Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, had to take part, get this, in putting their lamb to death. That speaks to us, beloved. Sometimes we blame the Romans for putting Yeshua to death. I've heard some people blame the Jews for putting Yeshua to death. But you know what Jesus said? No one takes my life from me. I lay it down in my own initiative. It wasn't the Romans, it wasn't the Jews, beloved, that put Jesus to death. It was your sin and my sin. That's why everybody in the Israelite family had to take part in putting the lamb to death, showing that it was for all our sins, it was for your sin, for my sin, that Jesus was put to death and died. We also read that the key to this Passover experience and deliverance out of Egypt was the blood, right? They had to take the blood, Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, and apply it over their doorposts. And today it's the same thing. We've been saved, beloved, by what? By the blood, hallelujah, of Jesus. As we continue on, we look at the deliverance that took place through the blood, and we compare it to Revelation chapter number 21, verse 27, and we find that those that have been delivered and are in heaven are written in what? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Even as Israel was delivered because they put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost in Exodus 12, so you and I are delivered today because of the blood of Jesus. Our names are written, hallelujah, the book of Revelation chapter 21, 27, in the Lamb's Book of Life. The book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, we have redemption and forgiveness, hallelujah, through His blood. Yeshua, beloved, fulfills the Passover. We also are looking deeper now as we consider Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. And we know that Pharaoh was a major player, a major character in this whole Exodus experience. And we know that the Israelites were in Egypt and Pharaoh was against them and he was oppressing them and making them slaves and treating them unjustly and confining them to live in oppressive situations and had no feelings for them. And Pharaoh, beloved, is a symbol, get this now, of the devil and the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist that's going to arise, that has no feelings for God's people, but instead hates them, is going to seek to oppress them and make them slaves. We also read in the book of Exodus of the shadow of Egypt there. So Pharaoh is what? He's subjecting the Israelites, and where is he doing it? He's doing it in the land of Egypt. And Egypt, Yadidim, beloved ones, is a symbol today of the world. The anti-Messiah is in the world, and we're in the world. The church, beloved, is seen in Exodus in terms of the anti-shadow. In Exodus, we see that Israel, beloved, is a shadow of the church. So Israel is in Egypt being oppressed, even as the church is in the world being oppressed. And I'll tell you, it's getting eerie what's happening. Two times over the last week, I was in a public setting asking people the question. One time I was in a coffee shop and one time I was in a restaurant. And I asked the person behind the counter at the coffee shop, what do you think of Jesus? And you know what they said to me? You can't talk about that in here. Same thing happened in a restaurant. We said, what do you think of Jesus? You know what the waitress said? You can't talk about that in here. The power of the anti-Messiah, beloved, is beginning to put the lights out on earth, even as the Pharaoh of ancient Egypt was putting the light out for the ancient Israelites. And then we have Moses and Aaron. They were God's two witnesses in ancient Egypt. And remember, Moses and Aaron were given power to release plagues on the land of Egypt. Remember, and Moses would pronounce the plague and Aaron would pronounce the plague. And Moses and Aaron, beloved, are shadows, listen now, of the two great witnesses that we read about in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses number 3 and 6, that we find that during the great tribulation, these two great witnesses of the Lord will be able to call down plagues upon the world. And interestingly enough, the plagues that fell upon Egypt locally are going to fall upon the world globally during the great tribulation. Let me review. Yeshua, beloved, is seen by the Passover lamb. Let me reverse it. The Passover lamb is a shadow of Yeshua, of Jesus. Pharaoh, beloved, is a shadow of Satan or the anti-Messiah. Israel, beloved, is a shadow of the church. Egypt is a shadow of the world. Moses and Aaron are a shadow of God's two witnesses that will be on earth during the tribulation, calling down plagues on the world, even as Moses and Aaron were calling down plagues on Egypt. And it's amazing to me that almost identically the same plagues that fell upon Egypt locally will be falling upon the world globally during the Great Tribulation. So we read that in Egypt they called down hail. Well, in the book of Revelation, we also read that during the tribulation, there'll be great hailstones. We read in the book of Exodus that another one of the plagues, beloved, was disease. We're going to find that during the Great Tribulation, there's going to be great disease on the earth. We read that in ancient Egypt, beloved, there was the plague of frogs. In the book of Revelation, we read that there's going to be frogs, which are demonic spirits. They're going to cover the land during the great tribulation. And we could go on, but almost identically, the plagues that fell upon Egypt locally during the Exodus experience, beloved, are a shadow of the plagues that will fall upon the world globally during the great tribulation. Now, I want you to consider that while these plagues were falling, if what I'm telling you, beloved, is true, and if the way to interpret the book of Revelation is through the lens of the Passover, I want to ask you this question, and I believe it is. Where was Israel while the plagues were falling? Where was Israel when the frogs covered the land? Where was Israel when the hail was falling? Where was Israel when the river was turned to blood? Beloved, Israel, get this now, was in Egypt. And I believe that the church will be in the world for many of the plagues that fall upon the world during the Great Tribulation. Now, I know that many of us have been taught pre-trib, that before the tribulation happens, God's going to rescue His church out of the world and the church won't be here for any of it. But beloved, if the Exodus experience is a shadow for how to interpret the tribulation, and I very much believe it is, that theology is not correct. The church will be in the world for many of the plagues that are going to fall during the tribulation. That's why it's so important that we get serious about the Lord now. Now, Israel had protection from many of the plagues. They were in Goshen, and sometimes the plagues would fall on the Egyptians, and they wouldn't affect the Israelites so much, but Israel was still there. And when the Nile was turned to blood, beloved, it affected everybody in the land. And during the Great Tribulation, beloved, even though there'll be protection for the church will still feel the effects of the plagues. That's why it's important for us to get strong in the Lord before these days come. Beloved, before the final wrath of God was released on Egypt, when He drowned all the Egyptians in the sea, remember, let's think about it. What happened? Israel is in Egypt while all these plagues are falling. Finally, Pharaoh can't take it anymore. The 10th plague, the firstborn in every Egyptian household dies. Finally, Pharaoh says, that's enough, he says to Israel, get out of here. So Israel begins to leave Egypt. And remember, they're heading towards the Promised Land. They come to the Red Sea, also called the Sea of Reeds. And when they get to the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds, they're trapped because Pharaoh changed his mind and he decided he wasn't going to let the Israelites go, so he began to pursue them. Well, we know the story. The Israelites, they can't go forward. The sea's in front of them. They can't go backward. Pharaoh's behind them. So what does God do? He tells Moses to stretch forth his rod over the sea. Get this now. And the sea supernaturally divides. I believe, beloved, that that is a symbol of the rapture. Now get this. Israel's in Egypt for these plagues. But before God drowns Egypt in the sea, God rescues Israel by parting the sea. They're supernaturally transported through the sea to the other side through the supernatural parting of the sea. Egypt tries to pursue them through the sea. And as Egypt tries to pursue them through the sea, what happens? The sea closes in on Egypt and they're all drowned in the sea. I believe, beloved, that that is the prophetic fulfillment that we see in the book of Revelation, that when the seventh seal, when the seventh trumpet sounds, the Bible says that God will release, listen now, the seven bowls of wrath. I know this is confusing. Let me try to break it up for you. When we see plagues coming upon the world in the book of Revelation during the tribulation, there's three different divisions. There's, first of all, there are seven seals. When the seals are broken by the Lamb, the plagues begin to fall upon the world. There are seven seals in the book of Revelation, and then there are seven trumpets, and at the seventh trumpet, the seven bowls of wrath are released. In other words, these plagues that fall upon the world, they increasingly intensify. Jesus said it was like a woman that was in childbirth. And what's it like for a woman in childbirth? The pangs keep on getting more and more intense. They keep on coming faster and faster together. And Jesus said it was going to be like that during the tribulation. And so the plagues begin to fall as the seals are opened. And then the seventh trumpet sounds, seven seals. Then at the seventh seal, the seven trumpet starts. The plagues are continually being released through the trumpets. Then at the seventh trumpet, listen, the seven bowls of wrath are released, and I believe that that seventh trumpet, beloved, is a symbol of the rapture that is also shadowed by the sea being parted, where Israel was supernaturally parted to the other side, because at the seventh trumpet, beloved, the rapture takes place, and at the same time the rapture takes place, immediately following it, listen now, the seven bowls of wrath are released on the world where God exterminates sinners from the earth, and that is the equivalent of Egypt being drowned in the sea. And so, as we're celebrating this Passover season, beloved, it is important and it is a beautiful blessing to understand end times through the revelation that we see in Exodus 12, that Yeshua is the fulfillment of it all. Once again, I want to review. The Passover lamb is a shadow of Yeshua. Pharaoh is a shadow, beloved, of Satan and the anti-Messiah. I should also say that, remember, Pharaoh had the magicians that did the false wonders. Remember, they would throw their staff on the ground. It would turn into a serpent. And then Moses threw his staff on the ground. Aaron threw his staff on the ground. And their staff would eat up Pharaoh's false magicians, serpents. Well, the Bible tells us that during the tribulation, there's going to be lying signs and wonders that are going to take place through false Christ and false messiahs and through the false prophet and the beast. And so once again, these false wonders that are going to take place during the tribulation by the anti-messiah and the false prophet that's revealed in the book of Revelation, that was shadowed by Pharaoh's magicians that did false wonders. As we continue once again through the story, Egypt then, beloved, is a symbol of the world, and Israel is a symbol of the church, and the parting of the sea is a symbol of the rapture, and the plagues that fell upon Egypt locally are a symbol of the plagues that will fall upon the world globally, and it's an awesome thing to see how the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament fits together like a hand in a glove. Yeshua, Yadidim, beloved ones, I believe, is referred to in the book of Revelation 29 times as the Lamb of God, because the Exodus experience is the key to understanding the book of Revelation. So as we celebrate Passover this year, beloved, it's an awesome thing to understand what Jesus has done for us. Even as he delivered Israel out of Egypt, so he's delivered you and I today. But you know what? The rabbis say that it was easier to get Israel out of Egypt than it was to get Egypt out of Israel. Let me say that again. The rabbis say that it was easier to get Israel out of Egypt than it is to get Egypt out of Israel. And I say that because that's true for some of us. Jesus, beloved, has died for us. He's given us a new life, but we're still working through the process of getting our old life out of us, even as it took a while for Israel to get Egypt and the slave mentality out of themselves. Well, Father God, we bless you today. And we ask you, Father God, during this Passover season, to cleanse us and deliver us in a special way. Father, we celebrate Passover as the season of deliverance. And we bless you now, Father God, in the name of Yeshua, the Lamb of God, who gave his blood for us, Father God, to deliver us and bring us into freedom, even as you led Israel out of Egypt through the blood of the Lamb, Father, 3,500 years ago. So, Father, as you look upon us right now, you know the things that we need deliverance from. Father, I know that some are watching today. They need freedom, Father God, and deliverance from depression. Some need freedom and deliverance, Father, from addiction. I know there are some watching, Lord Jesus, that are chronically angry and they need freedom from anger. Some are in addictive relationships that they need deliverance from. Father, I know that some are watching that are under the tyranny of financial debt and they need deliverance out of that, Father God. So we come to you today right now, Father God, rejoicing that you have given us a deliverer. And that, Jesus, you said, who the Son makes free shall be free indeed. And I ask you now, Father God, even as you did for the Israelites, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm to deliver the church, Father God, out of the Egypt that they're in the spirit, wherever they might be. Father, we bless you today. We give glory to the Lamb of God today. We say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive wisdom and honor and glory and power. Lord Jesus, we just want to tell you today that we honor you and we reverence you and we worship you and we exalt you and we extol you and we bless you. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, glory, honor, and dominion forever and ever. And we praise you today. And as we're praising you today, I thank you that you're delivering your people. Even as we're praising now, that you're delivering, that you're sending forth your spirit and you're delivering your people, Lord Jesus, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm from addictions, from pain, from cigarettes, from apprehension, from fear, from doubt, from worry, from cancer, and from every disease known to man. Lord Jesus, we bless you today. We honor you today, and we worship you as the Lamb of God that was shed for us and paid our price.
Thank you for watching today. I hope that you were built up in your spirit through today's teaching. Some of you may not be aware of some of the other things Discovering the Jewish Jesus is doing. We've traveled to many parts in the earth preaching the gospel. We've literally hosted events in Africa. People walk miles and miles, hours and hours from their villages to come and hear a Jew proclaim the gospel of King Jesus. We're reaching people that have no access oftentimes to television and the internet, and they're hearing the gospel proclaimed to them in a way that they understand, and many of them are turning their life over to the Lord. We've seen people's lives changed by the thousands. I want to ask you today, if you believe in what we're doing, you believe in the message that you're hearing, you have a sense in your spirit that Rabbi Schneider is a true servant of God, I want to ask you to financially support my ministry. We need your help. We can't do it without you, beloved one. Even the making of this video, it costs money in terms of the cameras, the staff, all the different things that we do. And so together, we make a difference. The people of God go together. You may not be able to go to some of the places that I go, but through supporting me, beloved, you'll have your portion and your reward, because lives will be being changed because of your participation with us. The scriptures tell us when people are servants of the truth, we should support such men as these. So I want to thank you today once again as I ask you for your financial help. I believe, beloved, your help will make all the difference. I love you. This is Rabbi Schneider saying, God bless you and Shalom.